You're listening to Robert Kelly's
You Know What, Dude?
On the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
What's happening? You know what's not smart? I'll tell you. Job sites that overwhelm you with tons of the wrong resume. But you know what is smart? ZipRecruiter.com/whatdude. That's smart. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't wait for candidates to find you. ZipRecruiter finds them for you. That's how it works. It's powerful matching technology, scans thousands of resumes, identifies the people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, and actively invites them to apply. Okay? So you get qualified candidates fast. No more sorting through the wrong resumes. No more waiting for the right candidate to apply. Those days are over. It's no wonder that ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. This rating comes from the hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive website. ZipRecruiter.com/whatdude. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WHATDUDE. ZipRecruiter.com/whatdude. ZipRecruiter, the smarter way to hire.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Laugh Boston and the You Know What Dude Live. Make some noise for Robert Kelly.
These You Know What Dude podcast on Riotcast.com.
What's up, everybody? How we doing? Good? What's up, dudes? Give it up for my... If you guys don't know what the hell's going on, some of you have the face. Like, this isn't comedy. It is. It's just not stand-up. It's a live podcast with some of the greatest Boston comedians. And this guy, I don't know him.
And Will.
And Will. And...
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. You guys know I'm from Boston. We're going to do a little podcast. We got Jimmy Dunn. That's where you applaud.
Hello, everybody.
Tony V. Yeah. Will Noonan.
Hi.
And Gabby, you guys who know my podcast is on every week. All right, settle down. Settle down. guys should never go, woo. Don't ever do that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Look at me. Do you understand? You have a salmon shirt on. Let's just chill out. It is salmon. You're fucking weird that I know that. I love salmon on my Caesar salad with hot wing sauce. It's fucking great.
Is that good?
Oh, it's the best thing ever. Sure. It's the only way to make a fucking Caesar salmon salad good. Get the hot wing sauce on the side. Fat tips for you guys.
Right. All right. Or wrap it in bacon.
Wrap it in bacon?
Yeah. Anything in bacon and they'll eat it.
I don't like mixing meats, but I will do bacon with chocolate. Have you done that?
Yes, I have.
No.
Yeah. It's a fucking heart attack.
It's fantastic.
It's almost as good as chocolate potato chips.
Oh, chocolate. Yeah, all right.
What do you mean, all right? It's fucking oh, my God. Right. Why is it? Hi, how are you? That's weird. Just fucking some hot chick in the front row and then you alone. It's like a fucking dating app. Hi, sir. How are you? Are you a fan or did you just show up? Were you with the nerds and like, I have nothing to do? You're new to what?
Sitting?
The world? I'm new to attending Black Pod. Fucking good for you. Thanks for coming, dude. That was really creepy the way you said that. But thank you for getting out of your comfort zone. All right, wow. Good. Thank you very much.
Nice.
What the fuck are you laughing at? now we're all uncomfortable.
Was there a metal detector?
No, there's not. He doesn't have a gun.
All right.
He'll fucking take your Facebook page down. I know, you're not a nerd. I heard it.
Stereotyping. You're stereotyping. You're making him a nerd.
He's a watch with a calculator. Who the fuck? I'm not stereotyping.
He's checking his heart rate now.
Yeah. I've never done my podcast live in Boston. I've always done it in New York or at festivals and stuff. And then they asked me to do it here. I was a little fucking nervous because I've been in New York for almost 20 years now.
Yeah.
But there's something about when you're a Boston comedian,
Yeah.
You're always a fucking Boston
comedian. Absolutely.
Yeah, you never leave.
I don't understand. Right. I mean, I understand it, but it's like people go like, where are you from? I'm like, I'm New York, but I'm originally from Boston.
Right.
They're like, I can't, and you can't. People from California, anyway, oh, I live in New York. It's like you've been there for 3 weeks, and they'll fucking throw their state out the window. You know what I mean?
Now, yeah. Boston's in you.
Yeah, what is that?
It's the hardscrabble working class mentality that doesn't exist anymore. But we hang on to it. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, Irish immigrants and Italians.
Right.
We came over and we worked for everything we had.
Yeah.
And then that's what you identify with.
Right.
Just because you go to some snooty New York and become a Yankees fan doesn't mean you
fuck off.
It.
I didn't become a Yankee. Did I say that? You're taking it too far, V. Listen, but here's the thing. Comics from Boston, we're known outside of for the best comedians.
No question.
Yeah.
Because of the
Nobody
guy.
Fucking questions that.
Because of the guys before us.
Who were the guys before us?
Lenny, Dennis, those guys that would...
Gav.
Those guys that would do...
Sweeney still, sure.
17 punchlines.
Noxie, yeah.
Those guys that would just... They had this
hammer.
Boom, boom, boom.
Right.
And when we watched, we wanted to be them.
Right.
So now when we go and we leave Boston,
yeah.
And they go, oh, this guy's from Boston,
right.
You know, we turn it up a notch.
It's a weird thing that you don't understand that the Boston comedy is... You tell jokes, a lot of them, for the whole time you're up there.
Right.
Like, I've done shows where people walk up and like, oh, you were funny the whole time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck does that mean?
Right, right.
Like, they literally saw comics that were funny for a minute.
Then they, some
then,
of the time, yeah.
And then
take a break.
For a little while. Right. And then they were funny. And then right. At the end, they were really funny.
Yeah.
Well, because when you break in, you're going on after the guys we just mentioned.
Yeah.
And you don't, you know, because that's the way it worked here. I routinely, when I started, got bumped by Lenny and Sweeney and Gavin. It's they're here. They got to do a show. And then you got to go on after them. And you either eat your dick or you rise to the occasion.
Right.
And I'm no stranger to
eating your dick.
Yeah.
The knife and the fork.
Yeah.
Well, it is a thing, because I came up with, this is my, you guys were before us.
Right.
But I came up with Billy Burr, Patrice O'Neill, Dane Cook, Bob Marley, right. Gary Gulman.
All hitters too. Same thing.
Yeah, we were all the open micers.
Right.
That's kind of, to my generation, we're looking up to you guys. And people.
What's your name again?
Young
Will Noonan.
We look up to you. Like, people still, the guys that book me still talk about you and Patrice and Bill Burr like you guys just walked out the door 5 minutes ago. Like, when we won't do something, like, Patrice would do it.
Right.
Or Bobby would do it.
Right,
and they
right.
brag about you guys and tell all the old stories. So it's like everyone's kind of looking up to the.
Well, I remember that we would be at Nick's Comedy Stop during the week.
I was just going to say, you guys held court at Nick's, man.
And we would be going up on like Noxie's show, and or on the weekend it would be Sweeney, Gavin, or you guys would roll in. But you guys would fucking murder. Like, you understand, like, you go to comedy shows and people ha 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 ha, but these guys, the roof would fucking shake. Like, the place would rumble. Like, people would be falling the fuck over, and it was so, and then they'd be like, all right, you're doing five.
Right. In, in the middle of this.
Go suck a dick. Right. I don't want to fucking go up.
Right.
And if you bombed, you didn't come back.
No, you had to do well. That's what we're saying. You would rise to that. We chased more national headliners out of this city. You know, like I can remember times, you know, like Richard Lewis in a heap, like weeping in the back. And then guys would come in as headliners, and by like Friday night, they'd be the MC because they didn't want to have to deal with it.
It's
you know?
A fucked up thing because one of my best friends in the world is Colin Quinn. I mean, I love him, but I was at Nick's one night before I knew who Colin Quinn was. I knew him from the shows and TV,
right.
And he's famous, and he rolled into Nick's one night. I think it was 500 people there, sold the fuck out, and a bunch of you fucking douchebags
went on
before
show,
him
and
murdered,
right.
Like fucking murdered.
Right.
I think Sweeney went up, too.
Yeah.
And then Joe Iannetti was there, and Quinn went up and ate his dick. I've never seen somebody fucking bomb. The people were leaving, I heard. They were fucking whistling that fucking song.
Oh, yeah.
And then one guy threatened his life.
Yeah, and
Joe had to fucking
go get him.
Joe had to go up and go, I'm from East Boston. Listen.
He's staying with me.
I'm Italian. I'm from East Boston. He's with
right.
me.
He's all right.
He had to walk Quinn out through the kitchen.
Right. Yeah.
But not only, he bombed twice. He bombed that night and then the fucking next night.
He came back.
Who bombs that bad twice?
Yeah.
I mean, tell a dick joke. Do something. Yeah. And I remember that. He bombed. He fucking, you guys would just go up and level the place.
Yeah, we'd do it all. We would pride ourselves on it.
Yeah, and then know? And then the best part was, as they walked down that long staircase at Nick's, we'd all go, thanks for coming, kid.
Hope you enjoyed yourself. Yeah.
That's fucking brutal.
Well, but you guys did it too. I remember.
Comedy now, though, because she's part of the new generation, Gabs.
Yeah.
You guys are way... I mean, you guys are very supportive of each other.
Yeah, it's very like, oh, great set. I loved your set.
Yeah,
oh,
like
I love your
acting.
Outfit and your set.
More like acting.
I've never heard great set from one of my friends. I've never had Jim Norton go, dude, good stuff. Literally. I would look out... I've looked out into the hallway of the cellar while I'm really doing well, feeling good about myself, and see Jim Norton going, and my self-esteem gets sucked out. Yeah, we've never done that. We were just so mean to each other.
Yeah. Look, it made you better.
Did it make me better?
Sure it did. You're good.
I'm all right. But do you think supporting me would have made me more successful?
You think?
I wouldn't be doing a podcast here on a Thursday. I'd be doing a sold-out show and getting fucking 30G.
If only we had said good set as you're walking down the stairs at Nick's.
You think that's what it is? You think that's the thing holding you back? That somebody didn't say good set?
Maybe.
All right.
Maybe.
You stick to that story.
Here's a funny thing, though, is that... I mean, no joke. You guys are funny. I don't know your comedy, but I heard you're funny.
Thanks,
but as far as you guys...
Yeah, we've worked together before.
No, they vouch for you.
Thanks.
That's
right. He's funny.
Oh, he's good.
Funny.
Oh, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
All right, let's settle down.
Yeah.
But
I'm
trying to make it better.
Thanks, guys. We appreciate that.
Good set, Will.
Hey, that
was a good sentence you just said.
Oh, thank you.
I love your shirt.
You're doing great, kid.
Thanks, everybody.
Your hair looks awesome.
Man, thank you, guys. Do you lose weight? That's something.
Yeah. It'd be funny if that worked. He was fucking a hit next week.
Yeah.
We'd all be complimenting. Hey, man, you look like you lost some weight. Do I?
Yeah.
But it is a thing. Like, we've all had success.
Yeah.
We've all had this. Well, you've had success.
Yeah.
You still do.
Yep.
But to be as funny as you are, to have people say you're funny, you're hilarious, to be revered as you guys are, right? And then... But you never left Boston. You're here. Like, you left. You had a TV show.
But I the only reason I left was because I went to an audition right here in Boston.
Right.
For a sitcom in L.A.
Right.
And only because it was about Boston. And they said, this guy's perfect. And they flew me out to L.A. I wasn't out there beating the...
Why do some guys say, fuck it, and get out? And some guys say, nah, I'm not doing that.
Well, because they're smart. And they got this dream and they want to chase it. And you can get stuck here.
Yeah.
As well. I mean, Bill Burr, as we've mentioned him a couple of times, credits me with giving him the best advice he ever got, which was, get the fuck out of town.
No shit.
Yeah. You're young. You got something going. We can see that. And you're going to get... as you just mentioned, you're going to get stacked up behind us because we're not giving up what we started.
Yeah.
You got to understand that this comes from a place when there was nothing in Boston. There was no comedy. There was no clubs. We started that. You know what I mean? Somebody had an idea to bring street, comedy inside so you're not beating the doors down at a T-stop. And then it grew from there. And the comics built this. It wasn't like, oh, we'll give you $25 to work our room. It's like we were shareholders in every room that started.
Right.
So we were making decent money from the beginning. It was the first place you could ever make a decent living.
Right.
You know what I mean? And at one time, we had over 130 comics living here because you could make a living at what you do without being discovered.
Without having the industry step in. And
right. And the industry fucked everything up when they started coming, plucking people like Stephen Wright and Bobcat Goldthwait and Lenny to a certain degree. That's when everyone just went, oh, what the fuck? It's not our little club anymore. There's a bigger thing.
But they always come calling, don't they?
They'll find you eventually.
They always fucking... come in to grab something or to take it and dangle and shit in front of you.
Oh yeah, and fuck up what you think is a good thing.
Did that bother you when they did it? Let me ask you a question. Does it bother you back then to create something? Because that's fucking nuts to me that there was nothing here and you guys made that. Because comics, we're selfish individuals.
It's a singular pursuit.
Yes. And you have to have a self-esteem, but you also have to have an ego.
Right.
That runs parallel to that. You don't want to be a fucking dickhead, but you have to walk on stage in front of a group full of people that we don't know and go, I'm fucking, what's up?
And keep talk. Them entertained.
Keep them entertained. You have to have that. But that now these people come in, right?
Right.
And take these... that one and that one and that one and not you.
Right.
What does that do to you?
Oh, you start to question yourself a little bit, yeah. But then you realize, you know, everybody wants to say, especially show business, it's not fair, but. Right. You know what I mean? There's no but. It's just not fucking fair. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's nothing comes after the but.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just the way it is. And you know, and we've all had our turns at bat, and you're right for some things and not for others, and you got to keep that part of your ego in check or you go nuts. It's like, I liken it this way. We're like long-haul truckers with really light loads. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you drive somewhere, you unload 20 minutes of comedy, you get back in your truck and you go home.
Yeah.
And that's what it's like.
Yeah.
Well, it's fucking... For me, I moved out of Boston. I got the fuck out. I was the last one to leave.
Right.
I think Dane left, of course. The industry just fucking took him.
Right.
And then...
But
Billy,
you were part of a troupe first, right?
Well, we didn't have to bring that up.
Still talked about to this day.
Still, Alan among these.
All right, relax. All right, well, but then you have to
legendary.
Bring that up.
Legendary.
We were legendary.
You guys didn't support each other? You weren't after, like, you did great out there in that improv, Dane.
The comics hated us. The comics hated us.
Yeah, we did.
What do you mean we did? I didn't say you. Oh, well. I didn't know you hated us. Well. Did you hate us?
No, I don't hate anybody.
Well, a lot of comics, because me, Dane, Aldo Benny, and this guy, Jay Hall from East Boston, who wasn't even a comic. He was just had long, beautiful hair. And he was hilarious because he lived in the projects.
Right.
He was this barrel-chested Irish kid with this beautiful Farrah Fawcett hair, and he would just have a Bruins jacket on. And but he had just confidence. He was just hilarious. He would do anything. And we did these skits. We wrote skits, and we did improv. But our improv, we went to Tufts University, had an improv group called Cheap Sox.
Yeah.
We went and watched them one night, and we stole...
Wait, it was called
SOX,
Cheap Sox?
By the way?
Cheap Sox.
Is that SOX or SO...
SOX,
yeah.
It was
a
boss.
And we sat in the audience and watched them and stole all the improv games. And then we would do improv. And if something really worked, we would just keep it.
Not improv.
That's not improv.
That's called comedy.
That's called the sketch.
Right. The second time you do it,
it's not improv anymore. Yeah, but nobody knew.
Right.
We were great, but we just were bad.
Yeah.
But we would come in and do these shows and blow out the fucking room.
Yeah.
Then we started doing stand-up. So we'd do 10 minutes each of stand-up.
Sure.
Crush it with stand-up and then do like 40 minutes of this horse shit.
Right.
You know, sketch. I remember Dane was in charge. Dane Cook, this fucking guy's a gazillionaire now.
Right.
He was in charge of props. So we had a prop bag. And I knew Al and the Monkeys were over when he forgot the peanut butter one night. I'm like, dude, where's the peanut butter? He goes, I forgot it. I'm like, you can't forget. We had a bit. The first bit you could never do now. In this, it was so fucking Boston. We were two Chinese guys. And I had peanut butter. He had a chocolate bar. And they would be off stage going, dun, 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 dun. And we'd go, hey, and they would do the sound.
Right.
And we'd go, psh. And then we'd jump back and be like, you got, and they'd be off the stage. We'd be like, you got your chocolate in my peanut butter. Hey, you got your peanut butter in my chocolate. We fight. And we would do this fucking, the hackiest fucking sketch ever. Fucking murder. And I told this story before. They, what was it? BCN Mark Parento.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Sure. The Comedy Riot.
Yeah.
They had it. We won the comedy riot, which everybody hated because
it was for stand-ups.
A comedy group never won it. We weren't supposed to win it. Mark Parento really liked us. We know why now.
I think the long mane of hair might have had something to do with it. I think kid Dane, from East Boston.
You had a barrel-chested
look.
Sure. Yeah, I think Dane.
That guy never met a nephew he didn't need.
Yeah, you guys don't even know who. Do you know who he is? No, he was.
It was a big time jock and big supporter.
Fucking when radio was king.
WBCN doesn't even exist anymore.
Doesn't even exist anymore. This guy would bring us in. He had
the funnies at five.
Funnies at five, and we went in, and he fucking rigged the whole system. Yeah. We wound up winning. They go, hey, you want to do the Rock of Boston show? We were like, great. 14,000 people bought a Boston Garden. In between Fish and the Spin Doctors, they had us do improv and sketches.
An enviable.
Did you bring the peanut butter?
But we all used. We did.
Yeah, peanut butter. Yeah,
that night
you made damn sure that night you had the peanut butter.
But we
it's
all
a big night. Big. Don't forget the fucking peanut butter.
Get the extra big jar. We're at the Garden. They gotta see it.
They gotta see it.
No chunky.
Up in 301. Get the big one.
Go to Costco and get the big one.
But we all wore different colored shirts. We all had, like, I had purple. Dane had blue. And just before we're about to go, Dane goes, dude, we should squat down on one, and then when they announce us, we jump up and spin and land. And we were all like, fuck yeah. That's fucking great. And we had microphones. We didn't have cordless mics. So
you're holding mics.
Like, so we're all holding mics. So we jump up, we spin around, and they go, ladies and gentlemen, Al and the Monkees. They thought we were a boy band. This is when New Kids in the Block, remember? So they thought we were a new boy band from fucking Dorchester. And then we started, dun 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 dun.
They didn't know what the fuck it was.
They were like, 14,000 people. What the fuck is
worst fucking band I've ever seen.
Well, because they're all high and fucked up. It's a lot of Fish fans. So they're like, for a couple, they gave us like 5 minutes, like, this is fucked.
These Chinese guys are hilarious.
Right? And then I remember they started, you could hear the crowd turning.
Right.
You could hear people go, dude, what the fuck's happening? Where the fuck is Fish? What's going on? You could hear conversations buzzing. And then all of a sudden, just a lighter fucking went by. And then there was a shoe. And then I remember they started fucking flipping out.
Right.
And I took my... It was bad because we were in the middle of we went into a freeze improv. And I remember I went, freeze. And I remember Dane.
Freezing.
But I remember his face was petrified because he had a freeze with the fear in his eyes of what was happening. And you could hear the crowd and the speed of sweat went. I remember it went over his eyeball because he didn't even shut it. I've never seen anything like it. And then they turned and I grabbed the mic and I've seen so many rock concerts that I knew how to get a crowd. You know, like I was like, guys. I remember I took my shirt off. I was hot back then. Yeah. I was fucking smoking. I wouldn't do it. Terrible now. People would start fucking throwing things at me. But I took my shirt off, and I was like, guys, I know you came here to see fucking rock and roll. Place went, rah. I think I put my fucking foot up like this. And I did a fucking Pearl Jam, right? A little Eddie Vedder. And I was like, you guys here, you came to see Spin Doctors. Fish, whee! And I had him. And I go, all right, we didn't come here. We made it. We came here to make you laugh, motherfuckers. Well, and I said, give us four things that piss you off. Besides us.
Besides us.
And that's when the shoe came by. And we fucking left.
You had them and you let them go.
Yeah.
You should have just broke out in the song.
We should have done something. Right? Dude, there's the funny part. We had 15 minutes left. We prepared a fucking 20-minute set to do in front of 14,000 people. We got 3 minutes in. 3 minutes in.
It's not a forgiving town, by the way.
This fucking town, the one thing I say about this crowd here is that if it people, oh, it's smart comedy. Oh, it's this. If it's funny, it's funny here.
Yeah.
If it's not funny, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
I don't care how dirty it is, how smart it is. If you're not funny, fuck off. Get off stage.
Right.
That's why I love performing in Boston, because they laugh if it's funny. But if you're not, boom, see you later.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing we did around here, and it's changed a little bit, is it was very localized.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We'd do 20 minutes on the dinosaur on Route 1.
Right.
You know what I mean?
He tried to buy it, by the way.
I did. Yeah. I did. I tried to buy it. It was not for sale.
And I said, why? He goes, because it's the fucking dinosaur on Route 1. I was like, makes sense.
You got to have the dinosaur.
Yeah.
Right. But, so, yeah, and we'd do, you know, shows of jokes about the Hilltop or this motel or, you know, the Honey Baked Ham store or whatever, which is very localized.
Yeah.
And you can't do them everywhere else.
No, you can't.
So that's when people would start going on the road, they would realize, like, ah, oh, there's something bigger than us.
Yeah.
You know?
They don't know the dinosaur.
They don't know.
Here.
You have then when you got to explain the dinosaur.
Yeah. It takes too much time.
No, when I moved to New York, I was doing certain bits and I couldn't do them anymore.
Right.
I literally had to lose them. I had a bit about Saugus.
Yeah. And, that's what I'm talking about.
And it was like about the. Remember, do you guys, you laughing because you remember that silly bit?
Right.
Saugus. I was like, it was just a hacky bit. Right.
I recently did a show about the Burlington Coat Factory.
Right, but that's everywhere.
But is it?
Yes, it's everywhere.
You can't do that.
No, you can't. It's in New York. It's fucking everywhere.
I'll, I'll keep the bit.
Yeah, it's like Marshall's. Yeah. Yeah, you can keep the bit.
I was going to throw it away.
Yeah, no, you can keep that bit.
Because the point is, you know, they changed their name from Burlington Coat Factory to now it's just Burlington.
Yeah.
But I go, that's a city.
Yeah.
So then they go, you know, where'd you get your clothes? Burlington.
Yeah.
Yeah, what store? And now you're doing who's on first.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. You can still do that.
I could do that?
Yeah. They'll just make it into Burlington, Missouri. Yeah.
Then we assume everyone's got a Burlington.
Everybody. That's the one thing. Yeah, everybody has everything. It's when I lived here, I didn't understand this and that... I didn't understand that there was a world beyond us. I knew that they existed.
Right.
But when you live in Boston, it seems like this is it. This is where everybody goes.
Yeah, it's geographically this.
You go to Hampton Beach for summers.
Summer, yeah.
Especially
go to the Cape if you have a little money and you're an asshole.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Depending on how far you want to go down, yeah.
Right. Well. That was funny on two levels.
I got them both. They didn't.
But yeah, I mean, when I moved to New York, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah,
and then I started going outside, you know, because you have to, once you, like I got an agent and they started booking you outside places, I had to lose a lot of my act.
Right.
Because it was so for these people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you can do it and murder and just keep evolving here in this thing.
And make, as I said, make a living or at least lay the groundwork for, you know, a career.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it's and this is the funny thing, too, is that Boston, I mean, for comics, like, I've seen you in a bunch of shit.
Yep.
You're always in a, especially the, what's those guys? They always put you in the movie. The fucking Farley Brothers.
Yeah.
They always put you in stuff.
Yeah.
But have you ever been like, I want to get the fuck out of here? I want to go.
I've gotten the fuck out of here and come back.
Where did you go?
I had an apartment in New York for many years on First Avenue and 9th.
When?
In the late 80s into the early 90s. And then I moved out to L.A. for a time. I always kept my house here. You know, I always had my digs here. But then I was working pretty steadily in the late 90s. I was doing a thing on FX with Bobcat Goldthwait called The Big Ass Show, which was FX's first, self-produced show. Mm-hmm. And I was working on that for 3 years, and I did a bunch of guest spots on sitcoms and had, you know, a pilot here or a pilot there. And then I just got sick of it and stopped
chasing
it. What did
you get sick of?
I got sick of, you know, just chasing these little, you know, it never seemed like it was going to get to the place where I was going to have a Maserati and a house in the hills and that kind of thing. And I didn't want to, you know, dump my whole life to chase that. So I just go, I've been working more since I got back to Boston. I did a series for Showtime called Brotherhood, which I was on for 3 years, you know, and that was all local and a bunch of the movies that come through and, you know, so it keeps you going. And
it's weird when you make the decision to be happy, how success
it's so fucking
just comes.
Yeah, it's so freeing.
It's fucking crazy. Yeah. I don't know what that is. Yeah. I don't know if you believe in God or the universe or whatever that is. What?
I think it's like when you're single and you're looking for women, you have that look like you're hungry.
I just said God and spirituality. And you bring it in.
Will's trying to get laid.
What the fuck is that?
He's young, he's good looking, then, he's always looking.
It's like when you're looking at these chicks.
He's still single.
Right? You don't think that woman in the front row came here to see us?
She did.
Yeah, all right.
She's a fan. All right.
Yeah, this is my fan base. Sucking right, salmon and hot chicks. <That's good. laughs> I got guys that look like me and hot chicks, and then a couple middle-aged guys that look like you.
Sometimes, though, when you're single, you can't get a girl, and then you finally get a girl, and it seems like every woman you meet wants to go out or hang out. It's because now you're not that, you're not desperate anymore, you
know?
Well,
I mean, I know what you're saying, but it's totally different. The thing is... You're talking about getting laid. We're talking about being happy in life. Right.
Well, that'll make you happy.
Well, not really.
Sometimes. Temporarily.
Temporarily. Every time I got laid, it was pretty stressful after.
After?
Yeah, because I never wear a rubber.
Yeah.
And I always come inside vagina.
More exciting
that
way.
That's my gift to you. Let's play some roulette.
Right.
Does my jizz work? That's the game.
Keeps it exciting.
Where are you on your period?
Name that cycle.
This guy has to look at his girl every time we say something creepy. Laugh, cocksucker. Just enjoy your life. Fucking asshole.
Football season is here, and now that we're underway, how you doing? You winning that office pool? No? Well, how would you like to double your money guaranteed? Well, our friends at BetDSI are making that possible this football season when you register with the promo code YKWD100. That's it. All right, let me explain. The NFL and the NCAA football season is right here. It's right now. And it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. To help you get started with some extra bang for your buck, BetDSI is offering to double your money on your first deposit. That's right. Deposit, start winning, and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go when you use promo code YKWD100. When it comes to football, BetDSI has odds on everything you could ever want or imagine. Whether it's the NFL, NCAA, football, MLB, NBA, UFC, S-Sports, all the other global sports, even politics, celebrities, reality show. Look, if it's happening, BetDSI will put a friggin' line on it. BetDSI has been online for 20 years and has built an impeccable reputation for great service and fast payment combined with an excellent mobile interface so you can play, win, and get paid anytime, anywhere. You know you're ready to win, right? So join BetDSI today using promo code YKWD100, and you already won by doubling your bankroll straight away. Boom! That's promo code YKWD100. Get in the action and get paid. Don't stand on the sidelines this season. Be in it to win it and enjoy the game that much more when you play at BetDSI.
Well, I really feel like that you have to, at some point, like I look at my life right now. You've had it. We've all had it, except for you.
Yep.
But
you'll get
you will,
it.
But
get
you will there. Have it someday. Gabby's going to have it.
Yeah.
Where the success happens. But there's certain people that get this Maserati, that get the fucking, all the shit. But to me, it's all relative. You know, because I'm sitting there going, because I've been around Dane, I've been around Billy and all these successful people that had it. You know, Patrice should have had it, never did.
Right.
And he probably would have had it.
He would have, right.
But there's eventually certain things that I know so many funny guys that don't get that, but they find that happiness.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm kind of there now. Like, I look around, I'm like, I have a house, I got my kid, I got my wife.
That's the decision, yeah.
We go on vacations, I do comedy, I have cool fans.
Right.
Not a lot, but some. I should have way more than this fucking cocksuckers.
That's good.
Spread the word. Get the fuck on it. I swear to God, you help another YouTube motherfucker sell this place out, I'll murder all of you. I'll come to your houses. Fucking.
But so what you're saying is my RAV4 is the equivalent of a Maserati.
You drive a RAV4?
Yes.
What are you, a lesbian?
And I love it. And I love it.
The fuck is
the
a RAV4?
Best car. It's they the best even... car. Best yeah. car I've ever owned.
Yeah, if you have fucking two adopted dogs and a mullet.
Well, I just cut my hair, but my dogs are happy.
What the fuck? A RAV4?
What are you
dependable?
Drive?
I got a Honda. Very
Jesus Christ.
Cars of New York, cars of Boston. I got a Honda.
I got
too.
A very reliable Honda. I also have a 67 Ford Bronco in a garage that hasn't been out in 4 years, but I'm going to fix it up when I get the next show.
That is a thing. You That's always what's gonna happen. You sit there. Once you get
once
that
Once you
show,
get the taste of it,
we
man.
Were talking about fuck. What would that what we call it? The. Having when you get a show,
yeah.
I had one a couple of years ago, a year and a half ago. You had one a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
You've been on shows.
I've seen shows.
You've seen shows. You're a fan of shows.
Watched a lot of shows.
No, you were on a show in Germany.
That's true. I was on Germany.
He had monsters. He's a big hit in Germany.
Huge.
Yeah, been
what
on
show?
Huge in
he
Germany.
He was on a German soap opera.
German soap
right?
opera. Yeah, like Katie Ford is the name.
Really?
Of it. Yeah. It's,
you speak German?
No, nope. they dubbed me like Schwarzenegger in the
like
old.
Like my fucking skit with Al and the Monkeys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they just dub it in.
Really? Are you popular?
A little, like not really.
Why would you come back?
They film him here in Boston. Awesome.
You film it here?
Yeah, yeah.
So you're famous in Germany?
Yeah, I every like once or twice a year a German person will like speak German.
Do you
to me
go
on the
there
street.
And do shows?
No, I went. I was gonna go over there and do a late night appearance, and they
why wouldn't you?
I wanted to. They canceled it. They just said
really
probably wouldn't be that good.
They don't get.
I don't speak German.
I tell you this, the Dutch.
Not for stand-up, no. So they would have like
German, the Dutch.
German late night shows are big too.
All those people over there, they don't get sarcasm.
No,
that's exactly,
no,
what they said. The director, I'm not bullshitting. Yeah. That was the words out of his mouth. He goes, "We just got sarcasm."
Yeah, they don't get. I swear to God, you he try to that. Be sarcastic with the Dutch. He's like, "Is this possible?"
Yeah, they don't.
No, you fucking idiot. You can't do that, you dumb dumb. I go to Aruba twice a year.
Oh, yeah.
Those fucking dumb dumbs. You try to fuck with a waiter. Is this possible? No, just get the cream. Get the cheese and the cream. Come back.
They don't do anything like that. Oh, they had a scene where a guy grabbed a girl by the breasts, and I was like, oh, second base, you know? And they were like, second base? Like, what is second base? And I was like, well, and it's probably taking a shit on your chest in Germany, but here in America.
Yeah, they didn't get that. I don't know if I get that. He really has. He's not getting our examples.
Just like shit. Not a chest, Bobby. Right. You know what I mean? They're you squat, you get it done, you leave. That's how it goes, yeah.
They're not huge in
you
baseball.
Lie about your name, you change your dress.
Do you want to switch seats?
No.
I'd like to. Maybe you want to switch seats?
She says that now, but in an hour she'll be getting his number.
Yeah. Just like this.
That's how Noonan works.
Creep him out and then I sneak
that's
in.
Exactly her type, too. Just a little dirty.
Yeah.
Just
a little dirty.
Yeah,
like, just shit on her chest. A little dirty.
What the fuck?
I don't mean dirty like that. I mean physically. Like he looks like a ghost hunter. That's her type.
That's kind of.
Hold
that's
on. I hear something. I can feel a presence in the room.
Let me ask you.
It's cold.
Something.
Is it cold?
Did your attitude change when you had kids?
I thought you were going to say when I booked a show.
No.
Because I swear to God, my first pilot I ever booked, this is what a piece of shit I am. Just a shallow hunk of garbage. My first show I booked, I was filming the pilot. Pilot. I was walking around the mall, and I put my hat down, and I was walking because I didn't want to get recognized. It was a pilot. That didn't air. Nobody saw it. The only person that could have recognized me is somebody from the crew. I was literally practicing being... It was a fucking moron.
I was the exact opposite. I was sitting in the back of the pickup, my truck in L.A., underneath the billboard with my picture on it. I swear to God, how you doing? Yeah, I'm the dumb guy.
It's fucking great, though. That is great. Best. A billboard. I always wanted to get a billboard.
Billboard on Sunset Strip, man. I sat and looked at it for days.
When I had a kid, when I knew my wife was pregnant, it was hard because I didn't understand... We never wanted kids. We would go on vacation and see people with kids and go, fuck it, ugh. I mean, ugh. I mean, we would go to Aruba for 20 years now we've been going, and we'd go, and just these fucking sweaty-looking people holding shit. And we'd be like, fuck you. We used to stay at literally hotels that didn't allow children.
Kids, yeah.
Yeah, you'd hear them over there. And we'd just be like, ah, fuck them. And then one year it changed. I was like, you want to have a kid? She was like, yeah, I do. And I was like, all right. So we tried and tried. And then when she was pregnant, And then when the kid came, I literally faked happiness when the kid came out.
Right.
Let me explain before you get.
Yeah, before, please, please do. Before, please, I want to hear that.
Before all
one.
The people who don't have children get offended and have no idea what you're talking about, get let me explain.
Yeah.
It's so overwhelming. It's this fucking thing that I was in shock. I didn't know what
There's no word for it.
Life just came out of my wife that I was responsible for forever. And I was in shock, so I had to pretend. You can hear it in my voice. I was like, "Oh my God, oh my!" I was so the worst acting job. If it was an audition, I wouldn't have booked it. Like, act like a happy father.
Like
they were like,
act like you have a soul.
Yeah. I really believe that, and I could be wrong about this. I think that women, as soon as that baby come out, is connected to it. I mean, just love it. I think men, gradually it breaks down and you're like, you become really connected to that child. I think that's true.
Yeah, and let's be honest, babies don't need men for a long time.
Really don't. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Until they can pick up a ball, they're useless to us.
Jesus Christ, what are you, him now? Until they jerk off the porno magazine.
Right. You're not doing that right.
Until they can go down on a girl. What does he need me for? Son, you go. That's not what you do, by the way. Yeah. Salmon.
Just.
I don't want to fucking teach him the wrong thing.
Salmon. Wrapped in hot sauce.
Next girl he pays for. What are you doing? Relax, fucking scissor lips. But, it's changed. It's changed everything because now, look at, I'm in love with my family.
Yeah.
I love, when I get home, there's a fine line though, because when I was hungry, when I was fucking single, comedy, I was in love, was my wife, my mistress, my lover. I fucked comedy. It was it. Comedy number one, everything else. Fuck it. Where do you want me to go? How? I don't give a fuck. If there's a stage and a mic, let me do it. And now you can go too far the other way.
Right.
Because I love, man, I wake up in the morning, me and my kid go in my hammock and sit there for 2 hours. And then we'll go in and fuck around, play. And then we'll go to the mall. I could spend all day with this kid. At 9 o'clock, I'm wiped like him. Right. I want to go to bed. I got to go in the shed and write something or think of something or go do a show. It's hard to, you have to fucking fight. You have to fight being happy with your family all the time. You got to go back to this fucked up thing that we did.
Right.
Yeah, you have to keep some type of love with that. And I think it goes away at the beginning, but it does come back after.
Yeah, it's like anything else. Once you learn how to navigate both situations, you can turn it, you know, on and off.
But do you think that when your kids get older, it's easier?
Oh, much easier. Like, I just dropped my youngest. I have two kids. I got a son who's a junior somewhere, and my daughter we just dropped off in New York City.
Yeah,
she didn't get in anywhere. We're just hoping for the best. she's resourceful. She's resourceful. I'm sure she'll find a college that'll take her. she's down in Greenwich Village. So
is she at NYU?
Yeah, she's at the new school.
The new school?
The new school.
Is she slow?
School.
What is the new school?
No, it's
my alma mater.
Alma mater. It's a liberal art. It's an artsy school.
So she's a little
future,
slow.
Feature a little.
She's
got a little dirty.
She's got issues.
You got issues.
She'll be famous in another country.
Right.
They have a great ghost. They have an awesome ghost hunting program.
She's taking German sitcom 101.
Dad, I'm huge in Chile.
But, you know, that was my identity. You know, I get up in the morning, make her breakfast, take her to school, drive her everywhere she went. Now, like today was the first day she would have been going back to her school. Yeah. And I woke up at 6:20 going, all right, I got nothing to fucking do.
Wow.
And, you know, it's an adjustment. But then you find yourself free time.
Because I come back from the road. People always say, oh, it must be hard being a comic because you don't get to see a kid. We actually see our kids more because we're home all day.
All day. Yeah. Right.
Monday, Tuesday,
Wednesday.
And
that was the other thing that made me stay in Boston is where I wanted to raise my kids. And I wanted to have an active part of their life. Yeah. I spend as much time with them as, you know, my wife or anybody else, and you can't, you know, if that's what you want out of life, it's more worth more than anything else.
And you appreciate it more when you go on the road and then you come home to your family.
Yeah.
You appreciate it more, but then a few weeks later, you go, I gotta get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I gotta get back on the road.
Yeah,
I think guilt. Yeah. I think guilt is good.
Yeah. Yeah,
I really do. I believe guilt is a very important part of being a good dad and a husband, because when you feel that guilt, when you go home, you absorb them.
Right.
You know what I mean? When you don't have that guilt, when you don't feel shitty about it, like, you should go away and be like, oh, thank God.
Right.
And you lie to your wife. Oh,
you get 2 days of, like, God, thank God I'm here.
And all of a sudden that thing starts setting in, and you want to go home and see them. Yeah. I mean, I do lie to my wife. I never tell her, you know, I just got room service, I took a nap.
Right, right.
Fuck that.
It's fucking horrible, kid.
She's like, how's it going? Ah, the fucking thing, and fuck.
Oh, that's the worst.
And then you never know. Right.
I made the worst mistake in my life, and I brought my wife and my daughter to the gig in Aruba.
Yeah.
Because before that, I could always say, it's just another gig.
Yeah.
And then you bring them there, and it's fucking paradise.
Oh, it's paradise.
And they go... Oh, you've been lying to us. And I go, yeah, it's pretty fucking sweet here. I got to work a half hour a night.
Literally, when you walk, the room is here, you got to walk down the hallway to that door.
You don't even take an elevator, right?
There's no elevator. Right. You go in, you do 20 minutes.
Yeah, and that's it.
And then you go smoke a cigar.
Yeah. And that's it. And
I did the same thing.
Yeah.
In Aruba, yeah.
And they go, you really can't tell us this is work.
Yeah, no.
I always get shit when I say, hey, I got to go to work. She always, don't call it that.
Well, my, you know, I actually took care of my wife, which was fucking crazy. I took care of my wife for, she got some surgery done. I had to do her job.
Right.
I can't believe how much shit she picks up. Like, just.
Oh, you mean around the house?
Just a fucking, one day.
Right.
I was fucking losing my mind. I'm like, just the shit that she has to pick up after me and him. Right. I'm just like, we make this much of a fucking mess. Like, there's napkins and socks and dirt and fucking crumbs and fucking toys and remote batteries and doors are left open. I never even noticed it. And she just walks behind us and going, yeah, put that there. Okay, shut that. Okay, move that. Wipe that up. Put that away. Yeah. And never says a fucking word. Never mind grocery shopping, doing all the other shit, making sure we don't die. You know, shit like that.
Sure. But you made it a whole day after her surgery.
I made it one day, but this fucking couple called up. They're like, hey, we're going to this thing. You want us to take Max? And my wife was like, because he's five. She's like, I don't know. I go, abso-fucking-lutely. You take this fucking kid. She goes, when do you need him back? I go, Saturday. My kid just started kindergarten.
Yeah.
And now I felt finally the ability to get work done again, because he's gone from 9 to 3, and I sat in my office for the first time because he's usually home.
Right.
And he comes home and he wants to be with me, and I don't want to not be with him. I know, and it was really, I couldn't do it for the last, literally for the last 3 years since he could fucking fuck with me. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do both. But I finally started, like, I wrote for the first time the other day on Tuesday. And I actually did something where I went from here to here without somebody coming in and interrupting me. So it's like, I feel like I'm getting back to that normalcy.
Yeah, your time frees up and then you find your way back.
You find your way. But I feel like for me, I always feel like if I move back to Boston, because I feel bad for my wife because her friends are here. Her family's here. My family's here. We have nobody. Like, we have all these fucking, you know, everybody out there that we know has family. So it's like, we're going away for the weekend, just us. Well, who's watching the kids? Oh, our mother. You know, her mother's gone. My mother's back here. I don't know if I'd leave my kid with my mother, but
that's another thing.
So it's like, if I come, I always in the back of my head, like, if maybe I should go back. It's always there. Like, I should go back to, I love all the comics in Boston. They're fucking hilarious. They're all my friends. My family's there. But in my head, I'm like, if I do it, it's like that guy from Cosby. All these fucking people, everybody be like, oh, Bobby's fucking done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, that's their perspective. It doesn't have to be yours.
Yeah, I know. But it scares me. Like, even in the business, because the business will think you're done. Like the industry will be like, oh, he moved back to Boston. Yeah. He's finished. I know comics like Nate Bargatze. He moved back to Nashville. He fucking didn't tell anybody.
Just went.
No, because if he felt like if he told the industry that they would say, he's done.
He's
with
dead.
It. He quit.
Right.
He quit.
Yeah.
So it's like a, it's like a.
It's a weird thing though that like if you have a New York or an LA address, right?
Yeah.
But you're on the road 3 weeks out of the month.
Yeah.
Are you really living there? You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Are you doing a handful of auditions, maybe more than you would be here?
Mm-hmm.
But now with all the self-tape stuff, if you have a real agent,
yeah.
and they're getting you real
it's
auditions,
it's harder.
It's a little bit harder, but
it can be done.
But it can be done, and
yeah.
it's you know a lot more comics are moving out of LA. If you follow comics. You know, national comics that live in L.A.,
yeah.
this is their week. On Wednesday, they're on Twitter shitting on the airline. Thursday, they're saying where they're going to be. Friday, they're on a morning radio show. Friday night, they're doing two shows. Saturday night, they're doing two shows. Sunday, they're on the plane bitching about the airline again.
Right.
And then now they're back home, right?
Yeah.
So really, if they're doing that every week...
How much are you there?
How much are you in L.A.?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And what's the benefit of that? Is it just to have that L.A. address or to be down the street if something comes up?
I don't know, man. I don't fucking know.
I spend a lot of time in L.A. in the winter because that's when, you know, the real stuff's going
How
on.
How old are your kids?
My kids are grown up and gone now, so.
I should have fucked yeah. when I was. I should have
yeah,
banged.
Yeah,
right?
You waited, you waited fucking, too long to decide.
I had a baby at 42.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Nah, that's not a solid business plan at all.
He's not even going to see me in like his 30s. I'm dead. I'm gone. I got to teach him everything by the time he's 20. I got to lose weight now.
I am going to take this opportunity to leave now.
Yes, Tony V has to go. He has a show.
We got to open a new club over in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is an iconic place.
Yeah, the comedy studio got thrown out of Harvard Square.
Did it.
And they're opening up a new club in Union Square, Somerville. And I did their first show at the old club, and I'm doing their show.
What was
tonight.
That? How many years ago?
20 years ago.
Shit.
And I was fucking old then.
Yeah. Well, dude, you're a
great.
Fucking
thanks,
legend.
Man. Thanks,
you're one
for
of the funniest
me.
Guys
great.
Walking the
yeah,
planet.
Thanks.
See you, Tony.
Thanks so much.
Move
buddy.
Over to the big seat, Will.
Come on over, Will.
Yeah, let's talk about
let's
pussy, Will.
Yeah.
Let's talk about German soap operas.
Yeah, let's talk about shitting on people. What
yeah.
do you got?
Well, you know, it's all about what you eat before. That's the key. Clean foods. A lot of salads.
I couldn't even imagine shit. Like, to get that far into some sex thing where you're like, listen, how do you even broach that with a girl? Listen, you have to, hey, that Thai food, let me ask.
Yeah. When I fart, do you like it?
Why did you take me to Indian food 3 nights in a row? I'm just waiting for you to poop your pants. I'm going to fucking scoot under you.
I always heard Stallone like that. That was a rumor,
no,
like
that,
an urban legend
so
about
funny.
Stallone.
So funny. They say that about every... There's
yeah.
always,
I always heard Rod Stewart.
From Jurassic
always,
Park.
But it's always Stallone, too. It's always Stallone.
No, I heard...
like
what's his name?
It's always Stallone.
Jeff Goldblum. Yeah, did you hear that? Jeff Goldblum likes to be pooped on, too. Which is ridiculous.
What is it about those two guys? Like, it's like they're both just...
Also, our president, I believe, did something like that, didn't he? Or
pee-pee.
He likes to shit
oh,
on
likes
us.
Pee,
yeah.
Well,
oh!
Hey, there you go, liberals. There you go. Hey, take it. Hey. Call up fucking Tig. why don't you move over? Are you really scared of him?
Yeah,
I don't.
And
right.
Do you see in the green room? She moved her chair all the way across
don't do
the
that.
Room.
That's
to not
worse.
Sit next
don't
to
fucking
me.
Open your legs to this savage. Fucking bad decision
that's a bad plan.
Happening.
That's a bad plan.
Well, it is. It's weird to me because, you know, being on TV, we were talking about, you guys don't understand when you're on. I was on Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll, which is a legitimate, holy shit. Like, they...
That was a fantastic show. I'm not just saying it because I'm sitting next to you. I love that show.
It was
fucking great.
It was a great show.
And Dennis and his crew, those shows, that whatever they do, it's gold, man.
Yeah, I've done a lot of stuff with them. They're fucking...
Yeah.
They're
great
best.
Guys. Yeah.
Jim Serpico, Tom Saletti, Dennis Leary, they're fucking the best. They make great TV. But you were on a fucking... You were on a real deal...
Network sitcom.
There's a difference between... FX and network.
Yeah.
Network money is stupid.
It is stupid, especially if you can get a couple seasons out of it.
Oof.
I got one.
But you
I
want
got
to.
Just, I got just enough. Just to one more, I would have been in Maui. I'm not kidding.
Really?
I was making plans to get the fuck out of here. But fucking Charlie Sheen had to go batshit crazy and tank the show in front of us.
Is that what he did?
He went crazy. Then they brought in Ashton Kutcher, and the numbers went down huge.
Yeah.
And that eventually did us. And only we had 8 million people watching a week, and that's not enough.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy because we had I think 800,000.
Yeah.
For FX, that's a lot.
Yeah.
For a cable channel, but here's the problem: what happened with us? TV went from where people watched it to they recorded it.
Yeah.
Used to have overnights, so they would know the numbers the next day if your show was good or not.
Yeah, we had.
Now
that.
They had 3 day bump, 7 day bump, 9 day bump. People didn't watch TV anymore. They would record the fucking episodes and in 3 months watch your show.
Yeah.
Oh. Or 2 weeks.
By then, I was already at the Bangor Elks Club telling jokes.
Right. I mean.
I'm not even exaggerating. That's literally what happened.
But here's the problem. Bangor, holy
and you
shit.
You go, what happened,
fucking
man?
Fucking Bangor. Jesus Christ.
I'm not joking.
I just booked one there. I'm like scared. It's in 2 months.
I remember I did Bangor, Maine. They used to, it's fucking
horrible.
Just a terrible place to do comedy.
Fucking.
They have a month where they did potato month where they, the whole school, the whole town, the kids get the fucking week off of school to go pick potatoes. What? Yeah, I swear to God, it's like fucking. The old, it's like 1820.
Yeah.
It's in Maine. But I remember doing a gig
Capital.
There. I literally was so angry at the guy who booked me. On the way home, I carved his name into the door of his car. And I wrote sucks with a knife.
Were you a prisoner. Were you in his car?
He had a fucking Gran Torino.
And you were riding with him?
Yeah, we were riding, and I was so fucking. But on the way back, his engine failed. We had to go get his car fixed. It took four. Oh, and I was just in the car. I wrote fucking Rob Steen sucks.
Oh, that's the guy I still hate right now. That's the guy who booked me in Bangor.
That's 2 weeks.
Yeah. Oh. And I was saying, I drive back from there and I'm like, I curse Steen. He probably cursed whoever he worked for. It's the same fucking guy.
Oh, I like Rob Steen.
Oh, I do too. I still
he would do 45.
New Year's Eve, I'm in Manchester.
I can't fucking stand Rob Steen. Just for the record, I think he's a colossal.
He actually owes me like
he's a colossal douchebag.
Right now,
anyway, just for the record,
You know what? I don't fucking like him either. I was just trying to be politically correct.
I'll be at his fuck club him. New Year's Eve.
he opened with fucking. He'd do 45 in front of you of this horse shit, and then he would do fire sticks.
Yeah.
Literally fire sticks.
Juggling
at the end.
And shit.
And I remember one night he lit the stage on fire and then brought me up.
And that's not. And that's not metaphorical. Like he didn't light the crowd on fire. He literally let it on fire.
Wow. Lit it on fire.
He could never light an audience on fire because he's not funny.
But, wow, he really...
He still does the 45.
I fucking hate him. I can't stand him, so...
Well, that's funny because our next guest... we're going to close out this podcast with the fucking... That'd be great if he was here. And he had fire sticks and he just...
It's funny, though. I was literally like cursing him on my way here. I'm like, man, I got to figure out this money thing.
He's one of those guys, though. He was on the Letterman show.
Yeah.
On
Murdered.
He did stupid human tricks.
Yeah, but he killed it.
Well, he put a stool on his chin.
Oh, you really hate him, don't you?
No. Yes, I do. But he put a stool on his chin.
Was it a shit like his stool?
No. That would be more artistic.
Thank
if he,
you.
If he could
good shit, callback, medical callback.
If he could shit on his own chin, I would say, all right, that is a stupid human trick. But he took a bar stool, he put it on his chin, and you know, Dave did a couple things or whatever. And then he goes on for 25 years saying, as seen on the Letterman show. Okay, you were on the Letterman show, but when you're selling a comedy show, as seen, I mean, does that not piss you off as a guy who was on Letterman?
I never did Letterman.
You didn't do Letterman?
Wow, that pisses me off.
Anyway, please welcome Rob Steen.
I did the Tonight Show.
All right, so same thing. If somebody was on a Tonight Show.
No, I don't give a fuck.
You don't have a problem with that.
No, here's why, because it was under the fucking guidelines of stupid human.
Right, but that's not what it says on the comedy poster. And then you go see the guy, and he goes, hey, how you doing? And he lights a stage on fire, and you go, this guy's not fucking funny.
Yeah, he's not. I mean, he's not that funny.
It cheapens the thing, no?
Yeah, well, he really did. You know what? I remember he had me work a sausage factory. I'm not even kidding you. There was a sausage factory somewhere in Maine, and it was in the back room, the employee fucking bar. And I just remember sitting there. Every gig I did with him, I would be terrified. Because it was just an awful fucking gig.
It's my life right now we're talking about.
Is that where you're at?
I mean, I still work for him. Because he was, honest to God, he was the first guy to give me closing gigs. So, like, I got practice to do 45 on his, you know, in the out away from everyone. Yeah. I'm in these, like, trailer parks and New Hampshire
But that
stuff.
Makes you, to me, doing all these fucked up gigs with him and all these Dick Doherty, fucking wherever the fuck it was, made me a better comic. So when I went to New York and I was the new guy, that's the one thing that, like, comics who live in New York, they're fucked.
Yeah.
Because they get to see them grow.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I went in as a new guy. I learned how to, I made my bones in the fucking Brockton and Maine and in the middle of fucking Lawrence, Mass, doing shows in front of Puerto Ricans who are going to kill you. You know what I mean?
And then when you get into like a good club
and
with a good crowd.
At the Porthole Pub in front of fucking three old people eating clam chowder. It was a fucking nightmare.
I remember that
gig. Oh, the Porthole Pub?
Oh, God.
Oh, fucking crazy. I remember there was some magic guy that used to bring, he used to book us all the time.
Yeah.
And he'd have his, I remember he had his Johnny magic Pizza. On the fucking stage. I don't know who, he had a satin jacket with a production company. It was a fucking nightmare. And what's way out in Massachusetts, the end? What's that called? The Berkshires.
Oh, the other end.
Try doing a fucking show in the Berkshires on a Thursday.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a fucking nightmare.
Fucking
but those shows made me a monster. Because when I finally did shows in New York, it was in front of a crowd. I was like, this is nothing.
No, it's true.
Fucking nothing.
Yeah, you're not afraid of anything.
And we went up after, when I would go, I went from going on after Kevin, Tony, you know, all these, fuck Steve Sweeney, all Billy, Patrice, we had to follow each other, which was nuts. Bob Marley would come in and murder. So when I went to New York, and it was Jay Moore, Dave Chappelle, Jim Norton, you know, Louis C.K. Oops, did I say it? Relax.
Please welcome Louis C.K. Nope.
That'd be cool.
It was just a silhouette.
He enjoys a good. He enjoys a good German film, Louis.
Look at the girl saying, "Relax."
He's not here.
It's okay. It's a safe space. It's
lock
okay.
the doors.
We're okay.
That is. Louis. I mean, look, not you guys. You guys have fucking been great. But crowds have changed, man.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah.
It's fucking freaking me out. Because I even in Vegas this weekend, people are sitting there and they're coming not to laugh.
They're coming to judge.
They're coming to go like this.
They're looking to be offended.
And I remember I was looking at these two girls and this dude, and you'd say a joke and they would laugh. But all of a sudden you said something and they'd be like,
"Yeah, it's joke."
And
to
I'm like,
joke.
"No, no, you're not. You don't get to fucking do it. Laugh or shut the fuck up." You know what I mean? Like, one lady started yelling. It's like, this isn't a dialogue.
Someone attacked DePaulo, a couple of weeks ago. They went through his whole show and then hit him in the face after.
Well, hang on.
He ruffles some feathers from time to time.
That's not news.
Punch him in the face.
I've seen more people throw punches at Nick DePaulo than I think I have seen, professional boxers. You know what I mean? That's just what he does.
Nick's my favorite. But yeah.
I love him. He just loves
the best.
You're going to fucking chew your mouth open, you cunt. All right. It's like,
people,
what the fuck? I can hear you chewing from here, you fucking twat. Listen, yeah, your boyfriend's a faggot. What's good? What? Relax, chill out, dude. but it's almost. I swear to God, you have to double down now. It's like I see people not laughing at fucked up shit I say. Either you fucking start. Doing horseshit comedy to me that everybody loves, or you fucking double down, and you usually break that. You break them out of it.
Yeah.
You almost snap them out of it. Where it's like, oh yeah, I can laugh at fucked up shit. This isn't real.
Yeah.
This is a comedy show.
It's
an exaggeration of the truth. It's something you think of, maybe even in the back of your head that you'd never say, but I just said it so you can laugh at it.
100%.
And this is a safe space. Like, people want safe space comedy. Comedy clubs are a safe space where we get to talk about anything and we can chuckle at it. And And some, that was fucking good. That really did deserve an applause break.
Articulate.
Bro. I really, as I was saying it, I was looking at, is that camera recording this?
Cut that up and put that on the internet. That was good.
That was good, yeah.
That was good.
I was fucking
inspired right now. Christ. Holy shit.
I felt like Rogan.
Yeah. Get some on it.
I wish I fucking looked like him.
Took some alpha brain today, man. That's good.
But I think that people couldn't have a dialogue.
It's going to be hard to follow that.
No, I know. I know, but I'm going to take a shot at it.
I'd let the kid do it. What do you think, Jim?
I'll step in it.
No. Back in the day, there was no dialogue. There was no... You couldn't get offended at a joke and go home and tweet, I was offended at this joke, and actually have a pipeline to you. Like, if somebody was offended by one of your jokes and they tweeted at you, you're going to see it, right? Now it becomes a thing, and then they try and turn it into a, you know... It's not... We're not looking for fucking feedback.
But can
I
say something, though? It's a weird thing, because we have changed as... humans have changed. The rules have changed. We've evolved. We were forced to evolve. And things are not the same way it was 15 years ago.
Right.
Everything has changed. It really is. And it's a lot of it's for the good, even though as we're stuck in the past and the future. That's why it's hard for us.
Right.
Like, you know, it's whenever that happens, younger comics, my son isn't going to have a hard time dealing with the way things are right now. The way women want to be treated, the way he goes to a multicultural school with everybody. He's not looking at a bunch of just white kids his whole life, and then you go to a fucking Celtics game and go, "Well, who are those?" You know what I mean?
Who are those?
Who are those?
Is the black guy laughing over here?
Yeah.
All right, good.
Chase Abel.
He'll be tweeting that one.
But do you know what I'm saying? Like.
Not really, no.
All right, no applause on that one, huh?
Even in Boston?
I'm just saying, you know, it is a good thing, but if you go to a comedy club and us up here, like I said at the beginning, we need our confidence, we need that ego, and we also need to be able to say whatever the fuck we want.
Oh, yeah.
As a professional, you got to let me try to find the funny in something that's fucked up or something that's beautiful or whatever. You have to, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Because if we're up here, if I'm up here and I look out and I see a table of girls and I don't want to piss them off and I cater my shit to them, I'm fucked.
Yeah, we're all fucked. We're all fucked.
I'm fucked.
We're all fucked because then this is going to suck.
If all the best comics were thinking that way, they wouldn't have been the best. You know what I mean? All the guys like Richard. If Richard Pryor was thinking about like offending people in the crowd, he wouldn't have said half the shit he ever said.
Right.
Well, I mean, it's funny because everybody brings up Richard Pryor, but even, like, I mean, pretty much every comic. Now, people say clean comedy. I mean, clean comedy is... I mean, they're just not saying fuck or talking about banging.
Yeah.
But even they do talk about banging, they just do it in a radio way.
Yeah.
Where you're using words like, her down
hoo-ha.
Nether regions, hoo-ha, or hoo-ha. Her front hole.
Special place.
Front hole is the fucking grossest thing ever.
That's worse. That's worse than vagina.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Hey.
That is so creepy.
Front hole.
That's worse than
we were trying to come up with that.
Yeah.
That really is. That really is creepy.
You mind if I spit in your front hole?
Yes, yeah. When was the last time you got your front hole blood? Are we pregnant?
You want a napkin or a baby wipe for your front hole?
Start tweeting. This offends me.
My mother-in-law's a real front hole.
I enjoyed that podcast very much until the front hole conversation. Hashtag no front hole.
Don't be such a front hole about it.
We got the name for the podcast.
Yeah.
Fucking front hole.
He just said the title.
I remember Colin Quinn, we used to talk about political correctness back. If you look back on Tough Crowd,
Crowd was phenomenal.
Watch the fucking episodes, though. It's the same shit we're going through right now.
Yeah.
It's the same stuff we're going through right now. And it seems like this comes up every once in a while.
Yeah.
Where we have to fight it. You have to fight it. You have to. You can't. I think the, like this younger generation, the comics come. We used to see comics. Me and Norton and Keith would sit at the table, and the younger comics would be sitting there,
talking about, you know, comedy and, you know, it's an art and blah, and we'd be like, ugh.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Like, what are you talking about? Oh, my, you know, this and that. And we're like, shut the fuck up. Hey, but talk about his jacket.
I know.
His jacket has stripes. We'll fucking make fun of it. But it's a different way now.
I will say, sometimes that, like, when we're making fun of each other, it feels like we're trying to be like you guys sometimes. It's like, well, is this fake or what? Is it forced or not?
I think it's not there anymore, dude. If you go to the Comedy Cellar table now, it's not what it was. It's not what it was.
The table
and
full
busting,
of millionaires.
We bust balls, and the comics are really for millionaires.
Well, I mean, like,
dude, where the fuck are you?
No, I mean, like, Aziz and Amy are there.
Yeah, there's two, and then there's nine fucking thousandaires.
Kevin Brennan has a
whack it up
dollars,
though. You're still Kevin doing better.
Kevin Brennan's a hundredaire.
He has. He has 40 bucks.
But I mean, Louis, Aziz, Amy are there quite.
Kevin
Dave Brennan Chappelle, Chris Rock, Jerry Seinfeld.
Kevin Brennan is a homeless internet person. He's literally going, give me money. Give. What are you fucking nuts?
No, but I mean, the Comedy Cellar to people who aren't in New York, like up here, we just think of that as like, that's the end of, that's like the Tonight Show to a lot of people.
But it's changed though. Comics are nicer to each other now. Yeah. Young comics are nicer to each other. They're very more supportive of each other. The crowds are, I've been to crowds.
It's hot again, man.
They set up crowds like in Brooklyn of their people that would like that stuff. And when you go into the city, like the Cellar's a different animal, but these other rooms are very supportive. They're very supportive, and you can get away with stuff. Like we used to do rooms where if you weren't funny, they'd throw a fucking sausage at you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or you know, that doesn't exist anymore. It's a different mentality.
No, Steen's still booking that.
Yeah,
game.
I was going to say, there's still rooms like that. But I do know, like, when you do those alt-y kind of rooms, it does feel like you could just talk forever and still get laughs.
Yeah,
sure.
But they're sensitive, too. They're like, if you say pussy, people get quiet.
It's a little weird to me that if you say pussy, people get fucked up. I actually said, I had a joke. I said in Vegas. I said I have a joke where I'm like, I hate this woman's face. And their kids suck. I hope their kids die. And people went, oh,
yeah,
what?
Like I really wanted children to die.
Yeah.
Like they can't. They hear trigger words and they emotionally react to it. I'm telling you, it's a fact. One night Voss was on stage. Me and Keith went down there, and everything he said, we went, oh. The whole crowd started hating him. Everything he said. And he wasn't even that dirty.
I love that story.
He would say something and then be like, oh. To the point where this table of girls, one girl, she literally turned to the waitress, what's going on? Nikki Glaser was on before him talking about sucking dick. Love getting banged out, swallowing jizz, having like a dick in your mouth, like a feeder. Just hilarious jokes. I'm not even kidding. She's fucking hilarious. I mean, fucking great dick jokes. She has one about, like, she was talking about a gangbang where the woman comes out and she's like a princess at the beginning of a gang. They're carrying her out through all the, but by the end, it's just she's being abused. There's just dick. There's always that one random dick, like the one dude, you know, the runt of the litter dick where he just doesn't know what, he has no hole, so he just puts it on her shoulder. Murdering before him. Voss didn't even, and they didn't say shit. They were just like, woo! He goes up, this old Jewish guy with a dumb hat. And we, oh, they fucking hated him. Fucking weird, man. It's weird, I think, but we have to keep going.
Yeah, I think all you, like, Sam Morrell, I never know how to say it, but I think he's a guy who's, like, doing it. He had a clip come out today, and I was like, he's doing good jokes, you know what I mean? A lot of the people who are blowing up and getting famous right now, like, aren't doing jokes, like, good, fucking, fast,
well,
funny jokes.
Well, look, man, jokes, I mean, look, everybody has jokes. I mean, there's so many different styles of comedy, though.
Yeah.
I mean, there's guys that tell stories. There's guys Patrice was a philosopher with jokes hidden inside.
True.
Who acted stuff out. You have Burr, who's up there ranting and going off on these things, but then he does characters that you don't even know fucking that he does.
Yeah.
And the philosophies in there, his opinions in there, based on an opinion and a conversation comes his joke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Ah, these people, blah, 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 blah. And then you got guys who write jokes, just fucking Ryan Hamilton. Joke writer, storyteller, but you guys who just fucking jokes. Mark Norman.
Yeah.
Fucking Bing. He's a joke robot. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, got a joke. Yeah. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I just think all those guys you mentioned, though, they make you feel good. Like when you walk out, you feel like tired.
Here's the thing. All funny guys.
Yeah, all funny.
Yeah. It's like all funny is funny.
It's like good music. You know it or you know it when you see it. You're like, I felt good listening to that. I liked it. And that's how you can break that shit when you're having a good set. And you make people laugh at shit they don't even want to laugh at. Now you broke the spell of kind of like political correctness that they're on.
Yeah. This political, we can't let it fucking win. You can't. No. You can't because. No. We'll be fucked because then we'll all be up here talking the same shit.
That's the problem.
Literally the same
joke. That's the problem. And then it's going to be so lousy that people will go, comedy's done.
That's it.
You know, because we're all doing the same stuff that doesn't upset anybody.
Yeah. You
got to upset some people. If everybody likes it, by definition, it becomes
average,
right?
Well, that's what
like
I think,
average,
like, even
right?
At the improv, Tony was doing it with that error.
Yeah.
And what came out of that? What came out of, like, all this clean comedy? Fucking Eddie Murphy just shoots out.
Yes. Right.
You know what I mean? And he's like, fuck. And then Dice just came out of fucking all this fucking the same
Sam
shit.
Kennison.
When it gets 100%. Saturated, you guys see the same fucking people and you don't even know that you're laughing at the same fucking shit because you're just laughing. Laughing is a formula. It's literally set up, punch, tag. And you can make, anybody can learn. You can teach that to
Jesus,
my fucking grandma.
Don't tell them that.
Yeah.
No,
we have nothing to worry
I'm
about
kidding.
With him or him. Her, maybe.
We will, yeah.
But, you know, it becomes that. And that's when somebody goes, fuck that. Suck my dick. I'm doing this.
That's what I'm hoping.
Hickory dickory.
You can't let people... And their agenda, you can't let them get angry and dictate what we're going to do.
Yeah,
I really feel like when they start policing comedy clubs and tweeting what was said in a comedy club and people are getting angry at that, you want to go, well, you know, this guy in a comedy club, it was in a comedy club. Yeah. That's where we're allowed to say that.
I wish fucking people would, if you don't like something, just leave.
Yeah.
I've been in movies, I just get up and left. I've went to like jazz things. And I'm like, I'm out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not into this fucking trio. I just get up and I didn't sit there and go, you boo!
Yeah.
Right.
What the fuck? That's not fucking Bon Jovi. Bam, bam, doom, bam, doom, doom, bow, doom, doom, bow, bam, bam, doom, gal, doom, doom, gal, doom, doom, gal, boom.
Ugh.
Sorry. Oh, yeah, I forgot about her. Fuck you. I've liked them before you.
Ugh.
Her dad's in Bon Jovi.
Shut up.
I'm kidding. He's not. He is Bon Jovi.
He is Bon Jovi, yeah.
Bring him out.
That'd be great. But yeah, it's like, just fucking leave. Why do we have to say something? Why do
Because we have the Twitter and people feel like...
You could get retweeted a lot on a criticism.
Yeah, and it's...
On a what?
Like, you could criticize someone and that get
famous on
it.
But there's guys who make a living at pissing people off.
Exactly.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, there's guys who say fucked up shit to get people to react.
Sure.
To get these fucking guys go, fuck them. And these girls go, you're a fucking asshole. And then they get elevated.
Yep.
And they have to live in that fucked upness.
100%.
I mean, I don't have that ability. I just want to fucking be funny on stage. I don't have that ability to go piss people off intentionally to get attention.
Well, it's become a business plan. A lot of people are pissing people off online to get them to come to the club so that they can, and they're talking to they're doing their politics on stage, hidden as comedy, and it's not good, man.
Well, fuck it. Yeah. Fuck it. I'm here Friday, 2 shows. Saturday, 2 shows. And if you don't bring more people, you're terrible human beings. Not you guys. You guys did fine. There's a group. You two better bring... I know you have fucking friends, Dungeons and Dragons or Call of Duty. You come with him. I want you two to become friends. and she's going to drive you around. It's like a threesome. Not that kind. Relax. Anyways, well, if I move back to Boston,
yeah,
you probably hate me, huh?
No, we'd love you.
No.
We love you. Come
we
on.
Love you.
Why would we hate you?
If I move back, because I'd take some of your gigs.
Yeah. I'm definitely losing a lot of gigs.
Yeah?
Yeah, we got gigs.
Right, I'm going to move to Hampton Beach.
Come,
you?
On, come on up.
That'd be great.
Are you living in Hampton Beach? You right do? Yeah. Are you Dutch?
A little Dutch. Just the
so,
taste.
A long time ago when you first started.
Oh, shit.
And you were hanging, you and Dane, and I was running. A guy named Dane Cook, he's a comedian. He was in an improv troupe with Peanut Butter and anyway, you guys
he hasn't talked to me since I got a kid.
Well, anyway. Oh,
he likes to date those, I hear.
That was Will Noonan. Will Noonan.
Industry doesn't fuck with
open
me.
Us. Well, so, you want me to open us for you?
Can I say something? It's not really, it's not a diss, really.
Yeah.
I mean, he's fucking dating.
Anyway.
He's 45 banging a 19-year-old.
You
compliment
and,
to me. I'm banging a 43-year-old from
boy.
Everett. she's got a shovel ass. One tit's bigger than the other one. All right? No, I love my wife. And I like a small ass on a girl, by the way. That's the whole thing with this fucking Me Too movement. That's how I got my wife.
Oh,
I did. I took my dick
her?
Out and fucking Marblehead on a rock. she was like, no. I'm like, come on.
Tale as old as time.
And then she was like, all right.
A Massachusetts now love story.
Now
right
she's
there.
Got a house and a kid. I mean, it works out sometimes, ladies. A couple minutes of being a whore might get you a house.
Did Louis teach you that trick?
Or
did Louis teach you that trick?
But no, I got a head. I didn't jerk off. I'm not a fucking weirdo. Come on.
Yeah. I knew when I had to say that twice, it was over.
So what did I do today? Would you catch me blowing him?
This won't even be funny now.
I saw you blowing Dane at a fucking Holiday Inn Express.
You were on
it?
A rock going, come on. No, so you guys came up, and I had an open mic thing going where the guy gave me $50 a week.
Yeah.
And so we had basically an open mic, and whoever was the funniest.
Yeah.
Gets the $50.
Right.
And the audience would decide, you know. Right. So you guys came up, and Dane was kind of new, but he was already just so damn funny, you know. And you guys came in, and you guys were like, what's the deal? You know, you were sizing me up, going, what's $50? All right. So who decides? Oh, the audience. Okay. All right. And so, of course, Dane goes up and destroys.
Yeah.
And
he had a bit about a robot. And he did all the. No, it was, what was it? Fucking Terminator. No, a RoboCop. RoboCop. Look up Dane Cook's RoboCop bit. He literally wrote it before he did comedy. He did this, and the gun came. Fucking murdered. Murdered, right?
Absolutely murdered.
And then I went up and talked about my dick.
Right, and there were only like, I mean, there were maybe 15 people. Yeah, that's about how it went. And there were about 15 people in the crowd or whatever. And I had to pay the kid who was doing the flyers. I had to pay him $10. And I didn't have, so I only had $40.
Right.
So when Dane won,
right.
I go, look, I got $40.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And you all of a sudden turn into his fucking business manager going, I don't know about that, dude. And you were like, you were sizing me up going, when are we getting it? I go, look, next time I see you at Knicks or whatever. Yeah. And you, $10. And you were like,
did you ever give it to him?
No, so.
Yeah, exactly. Hunk of shit.
Wait. So he takes off for L.A. like shortly thereafter.
Yeah, yeah.
2 years later, I see him up at the Montreal Comedy Festival.
Right.
He's a millionaire by now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I see him. I go, hey, dude, I got that $10 I owe you.
And he took
and
it.
He goes, no. He goes, ah, you're all right now.
Really?
Yeah. He didn't take the $10. But you didn't trust me for the $10.
Why would I? You didn't give it to him. You waited till he was a.
That's a good point. You're a good point.
My instincts were right. He's a hunk of shit.
You're right.
He waited till he was famous and had an in. If Dane never made it and needed that $10, this asshole would have never gave it to him. He was using it. Hey, dude, here's your $10. You got a part on a show?
What do you got? A pool?
Why would I size you up? You're a monster.
Yeah. No, you were. I'm positive.
I was a little cocky back then.
You guys, you were and he was, but together.
Yeah.
Forget it. And then time when Patrice was with you,
yeah,
and you guys were in the back of Nick's.
Oh, God.
And if somebody went up on stage and had a bad set,
oh, yeah,
and they had to do that walk by you, by the three of you guys,
oh, we'd be like this.
Oh, you just like, yeah.
We'd be Patrice would do this with his fingers. And then, having a bad set in front of Patrice is the worst.
Oh, it was so much fun though to watch other guys do it.
Oh, you know? It was the best. I meant, but having a good set in front of him when someone bombs after him is the best.
Yeah.
We were in Amsterdam together, and they had a show called The Bounce. It was a black show, but it was Dutch black, not American black, so they're pretty much just white people. And
Dutch black.
Is this possible? yes. But I remember, thanks, black guy. Boston hasn't changed much. Two black guys are at the show. Good for you.
no,
one brown person. Okay, good. Listen, where's the Mexicans? She said right there. Where? Are you Mexican, dude? What's up, Jose? How you doing? Hola.
Yeah, you can come back. You'd fit right back in.
You can do giggles.
All right, listen, man. Listen, we were at the Bounce, and I remember the girl didn't show up. The girl was supposed to show up. I forget who she was. She forgot it. She fucked up her passport, right? And they needed somebody to do the show, but they needed a black comic. And Patrice and Keith were like, just let Dummy do it. He does Black Night at the Boston. He kills in front of black crowds. And the guy, you know, Dutch guy, no, this is possible. And... Finally, he was like, all right, fuck it, do it. Patrice goes out. I have to go after Patrice, right? Patrice goes out, fucking, of course, murders that fucking asshole. Just gifted fucking hunk of shit. Ugh,
God,
bugs
was he
me
funny,
that he
man.
Fucking...
He was so funny.
Just stop eating donuts, you fuck. the funniest guy in the world, man. I mean, seriously.
He was.
Funnier than all of them.
I've seen him live. I never met him. I've
He's
seen
the best.
Him. Unbelievable.
The fucking... He goes out and murders. I go out. Now, mind you... I went. One of the biggest trashings I've ever gotten in my life was that night, because I bought an outfit for that night for the theater, and that's when remember black polyester shirts, and they had black pants like slacks, black
right.
slack pants.
Yeah.
You know, you'd wear them with a cool belt and some nice shoes. You know, they're like the shiny little Puerto Rican fence climbers. kidding. <That's laughs> you can dig in the fence and run from the cops.
Yeah, he's
already moved on, right?
He's Mexicans. I said Puerto Rican, not you guys. You guys don't like walls or fences.
Woo!
Wow.
That was a good joke. we... it's a fence, run. So I remember I came out of the hotel, but there were bell-bottoms. I fucked up. I didn't know there were bell-bottom slacks. So I had a black shirt, black slacks that went out, so it looked like I was wearing an evening gown. I walk out of the hotel, and Patrice is in the van. You just hear, blah! This motherfucker. 45 minutes. They smash me. We go to this gig. Now, Patrice murders. I'm going in front of an all-black crowd in an evening gown. I wind up fucking killing. I murder like I've never killed. They were chanting my name.
Whoa.
But Keith had to go up after me. Patrice was fucking with Keith so bad. He literally, when I got off stage, Keith was shat. You know when a comic's nervous? They start doing this shit. Right? Keith was doing push-ups, trying to get his energy up. Like, fuck that motherfucker. I walk off stage and go, Bobby, Bobby, and that Dutch eye, Bobby, Bobby, right? Keith walks up to go, hey, how you doing? Patrice went, stay away from him. Get away from him. Don't touch my client. And he grabs me, and he's like, Mr. Kelly, that was a great set. Keith literally pushes Keith back. Keith went out and fucking took a nice hot one. Patrice was just going, ha! That's what I miss.
Yeah.
I know the young comics are supportive, but watching a comic, your friend, die.
That still happens. We still love
one
that.
One of the best things.
Yeah.
And then the two-hour ride in the car just bombs all the way home.
There's nothing funnier than seeing your friend bomb.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
in front of a fucking hot crowd.
It's the best.
And everybody, and just going, fucking you stink.
Fuck you.
Just when they walk off, you fucking blow. What happened, stupid?
Yeah.
I know, they didn't get me. Nah, you stink.
It was the checks. The checks went out.
Nah, that was a great crowd. Yeah. We all fucking murdered. You stink. All right, we got to wrap this up. I want to thank you guys. Swear to God, you know what, dude, fans, my fans, thank you for coming out to this. I thought it was just going to be these two motherfuckers. I mean, it would have been good, but you guys are great. Please give it up for Tony V, everybody. Tony V, Jimmy Dunn, and Will Noonan.
Thank you very much.
And give it up for Gabby, who fucking helped me out do all this shit, always on the show. One of the new comics coming up. She'll be doing guest spots this weekend. You guys are the best fans in the world. We'll see you next time on You Know What, Dude?
You've been listening to the YKWD podcast. Thanks for listening. Now go back to your shitty jobs.
Shitty jobs.
Listening to the YKWD podcast. Thanks for listening. Now go back to your shitty jobs.
Shitty jobs. Shitty jobs.
Check out riotcast.com for all of the best podcasts on the internet. And they are all free.
And they are all free.